I want to talk with you a little bit about meditation. And it's such a crucial part to waking up and that deep knowing that we've been talking about. So do you have a meditation object and approach that you're happy with? Okay. And what we're looking for, wanting to develop, is being able to come to a point in our meditation where all of the five hindrances are gone. So you don't want anything, you don't want to get rid of anything. There's no more restlessness, there's no doubt, no drowsiness or dullness. The mind is bright, mindfulness is present, and the mind is still. When there's happiness, there's joy, and then it's like something else takes over. You don't have to do anything after that point. You're just observing. And there comes a point when you can't do anything. You can't bring up a thought. You can't make any choices. So if that's not happening for you, and it doesn't happen every time you sit down, but it would be good if that was pretty frequent. And then you stay in that state until it just comes, you come out. Like I said, it's taking its own course. And when that happens, then you have an opportunity to reflect on Dhamma. And you do that by just allowing a theme of Dhamma to arise in the mind and observing it, and then after a while go back into that deeper state again if you can. So that's pretty ideal, and we don't all experience that all the time, and sometimes it's challenging to get the mind, train the mind in a way that you come to that point. So what we want to do is look at how your meditation object's working. How many of you use the breath as your meditation object? Is that everybody? Not quite. What do you use if you're not using the breath?
Metta.
Yeah. Yeah, the Brahma Viharas. And you can do both. So I'm actually going to guide you through a meditation that is, I use the mindfulness of in and out breathing, which is a little, you know, there's more to it than just following your breath. And then from mindfulness of in and out breathing, you can go off into the Brahma Viharas, you know, the mind can go into deep jhana. There's all kinds of options, right? It's kind of the Swiss Army knife of meditation. You've got everything in there. So I'm going to kind of guide you through part of that, and then metta. We'll see how far we get. Brahma Viharas, we'll see. So I'm happy to talk with you about meditation. If you want to ask questions, we're going to start with meeting with small groups in about 40 minutes. We'll have our first one, and so we can talk about meditation as well as all of the other content, of course, that we have, and anything else that you want to. Okay, so get comfortable. So being comfortable is important, as comfortable as we can get. Sometimes the body just doesn't have that option, but we do what we can. Comfortable and balanced, y'all look pretty good to me in terms of being stable in your posture. Now, the problem with guided meditation is it doesn't go at the pace everyone in the room needs. So it's maybe going to be a little faster than is good for you or whatever, but just learn from it if you can, and then when you do it on your own, you take your time, whatever time is needed. So I like to start sometimes with a body scan to check in on all of the body parts of the body and make sure that they're comfortable. And I often start with a few deep breaths just to let go of some of the pent-up energy or whatever, just to kind of relax. It's important to relax. Sometimes we are so intent on following meditation instructions and maintaining mindfulness that we become tense around it. And we want to let go because we can't really come to the kind of joy and happiness that's available in meditation and necessary for developing insight if we're tight and tense. So breathing in and breathing out. It can be helpful to smile and just come to the whole practice with a sense of happiness, gladness, appreciation. And we want to establish mindfulness and letting go of everything in the world. Any kind of concerns or desires for the world. Set that all outside. We start with an intention that our mindfulness be bright and the mind be happy, then we've got a better chance of that happening. And we put our attention on our breathing, and we're aware that we're breathing in when we're breathing in. And we're aware that we're breathing out when we're breathing out. And we notice if the in-breath is long or short, if the out-breath is long or short. And then we might notice other qualities about the breath, if it's rough or smooth. And we don't have to become detailed about it, but just really start to feel the breath. And know how it's doing. And we have that kindness and gentleness and letting go attitude right here, right surrounding this whole process. If you have a kind of sense of love for the breath, it's unlikely that your mind will stray away from it. And then we begin to expand our awareness to include the entire body. And it's not like you're watching the body, it's like you're feeling the whole body and all around it. It's more of an energetic sense, I think. The whole body breathing. And then as you feel the whole body with the breath, you start to notice any sense of tingling or warmth, feelings of happiness. The joy that we call piti, it's a spiritual pleasure, spiritual joy. Oftentimes you feel it in the body. Very calming, uplifting. It might be quite subtle at first. And that's why the Buddha said you start to pay attention to that feeling, and then it increases. And you're still aware of each in-breath and each out-breath, and whatever feelings of joy and happiness that arise. So this feelings of joy, which you might recognize as piti, this is all very close to the feeling of metta, at least that's my experience. So at this point, I'd like you to bring in a feeling of loving kindness. And really see what it feels like if you consciously fill that first quarter with metta. Can can do that in whatever way you want. I use the front of my body first, filling the whole quarter towards the front from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet with loving kindness. And if it doesn't just spring up, then think about times when someone has been kind to you or you have been kind to someone else. Acts of kindness that really touch your heart. And as that front quarter is filled, then we can move to the right side, fill that whole side with metta. And then the back of you from the core of your being spreading out. Filling with metta. And finally, the left side, filling that whole area so that metta is all around you. Usually the way it's translated is, I will abide pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with loving kindness. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. And then above you, and below you, around and everywhere. And to all beings, and to yourself. So now you have this orb of metta, of loving kindness, and you're in the center. and the mind is peaceful and happy. Because there's love in every direction. And through this, sometimes people go into jhana. We call it metta jhana. The mindfulness is still bright and clear, fully present and aware. And you can check in to see if there are any hindrances, wanting anything, wanting to get rid of anything. Restlessness. Drowsiness, doubt. And if those are, any of those are present, but they're rather weak, you can just increase the metta and they'll go away. It's like turning up the light. Now, of course, you can also include living beings that you bring to mind in this glow of metta, this beautiful field of metta. With all your loving care for them, and wish for their well-being. But eventually we want the mind to become still and not be thinking about anything. It becomes more of a felt sense of just bringing that love, that kindness more and more to our direct reality. And if usually you use breath as your meditation object, you can bring your attention to your breathing again. And feel the metta, feel the loving kindness and the breath. You can even use the focus on the breath to tune up or to turn up or expand that sense of loving kindness. first practice discussion group will convene over in the classroom, and that's Janine and Lisa Perry Wood, Rachel and Allie, and me. And there's a stack of small books on a bench out in the foyer there. Those are gifts for you. I was going to give them to you at the end, but I thought you might like reading them during the snowstorm. And please feel free to continue meditating, the rest of you, and I'll see you again, all of us together again at 2, but keep your meditation going. And I think that's it. Any questions or comments? Do you have everything you need, clothing-wise and warmth-wise? What?
I have to admit, I'm having a little wonder about, am I going to be able to get home?
I think if we're all leaving on Sunday, it won't be a problem. I think things are going to warm up and this won't last. It's supposed to just kind of settle out later today, I think. Yeah. Yes?
Will you be
here again at 2? I believe so. Yes. And 2:45 will be group number 2 in the classroom, so we'll be here.
I would also like to put out, if anybody wants to read to me from last night's homework, talk, anything, Dharma related, I would be welcome. If anybody wants to do that, that's great.
Okay. I think Carol's still on it. Yeah.
But if somebody else wants the opportunity, I'm
not always
going to go a lot. But
okay.
I don't mind. I'd love to do it again.
Okay. Good. Wonderful. All right.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.